Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And if I may, I'm gonna ask our producer Noel to put on a little spooky music, and I'm going to read a quote from H.P. Lovecraft.
Wait, hold on, let me turn on the light, because we are submerged in complete darkness right now.
Oh, great.
It's a little weird. Wait, hold on.
Reading this really difficult, but
okay. There.
All right. This is from Lovecraft's 1927 work, Supernatural Horror in Literature. Children will always be afraid of the dark, and men with minds sensitive to hereditary impulse will always tremble at the thought of the hidden and fathomless worlds of strange life which may pulsate in the gulfs beyond the stars, or press hideously upon our own globe in unholy dimensions which only the dead and the moonstruck can glimpse.
That was beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you.
And if you guys haven't guessed out there, we are diving way into the deep dark in this episode. And I love that, because it really does evoke this sort of primal fear that darkness has, particularly for children.
Yeah, I mean, the great thing about this topic is that light and dark, those are the cycles that have defined our lives, that have defined life for the most part for so long. I mean, life here on Earth exists within these cycles of light and dark, and that has played into the evolutionary ascent of almost all organisms.
And it's so important to us that we have woven it into this symbolic level, right? I mean, the yin and yang of dark and light, these opposites, which really represent these ideas of not just values, but of different spheres that we inhabit.
Because on one level, the world of light, the sunlit world, I mean, that's an area of the known. And then the world of darkness, that is an area of the, if not the unknown, at least the uncertain, the possible,
right.
The sort of the quantum state, where the darkness can be simply emptiness. The darkness can be something you could trip over. It could be a thief. It could be a monster. There's room for just about any fear within that undefined space of shadow.
And that undefined space of shadow is largely what occupied the human experience. In fact, if you look at archaeological evidence that suggests that, you know, just 400,000 years ago or so, early humans mastered fire. Before that, What would you do? I mean, you didn't really have that access to something that could glow and provide some sort of illumination in the dark. Now, skip ahead to today where we have the possibility for 24-hour lighted environments, and we kind of take that for granted that darkness really did rule the night.
Indeed. I mean, for the longest, to borrow a phrase from historian William Manchester, you had a world lit only by fire, right? Or at least a night lit only by fire. So even if you had fire, you had candles, you had torches, you had campfires. Eventually you get gas lighting and lanterns and other luminary innovations. But for the most part, you're sort of carving out a little bit. You're reclaiming a little bit of the night, but it's not quite as good as the daylight. And you're still surrounded by all these shadows and just gulfs of impenetrable darkness.
Right. Until you had like a really good, widespread source of artificial light, all you had were those dying embers to light the space around you. So what would you do? You would submit to that dark, and most of us would go to sleep. And that brings up this idea, which we've touched upon before, mm-hmm. of two-phase sleep.
Yeah, and this is pretty simple. What happens when it gets dark? And again, you may have some light at your disposal. You may have a campfire at your disposal, but your abilities are greatly reduced. So you go to sleep. You simply call it a day. Except something happens about halfway through, right?
You wake because, according to historian Roger Eckrich, who published a book on the matter called At Day's Close, Night and Time's Past, which, by the way, was a culmination of his 16 years of research that uncovered more than 500 references to a segmented sleeping pattern, he found that you would wake in this 14-hour sleep pattern for maybe an hour or two, get up, tend to your animals, do a little light housekeeping in the moonlight, have sex, lay in bed thinking, smoking a pipe, or gossiping with your bedfellows. In fact, and we've mentioned this before, I love this, it's widely known that Benjamin Franklin would light a candle mm-hmm. and take cold air baths reading naked in a chair.
Indeed, that was his strategy for this period between the two sleeps. And one thing I love about this is it also really defines that idea about the middle of the night, right? Because for us, the middle of the night is typically more a situation of staying up late enough for it to be the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
But you go back to this earlier mode of sleep, and it's not merely a stage of lateness, but a true in between that, this little space, this little, clutch of the darkness that you end up occupying between these two dominant phases of sleep.
Now, in Stephen Johnson's book, How We Got to Now, in the PBS series, there is a section on light, and he talks about this. He talks with historian Craig Koslofsky, who says that, you know, our kind of nighttime wakenings now, or even insomnia, may be attributed to this original 14-hour sleep phase. In other words, it's kind of normal that we get up sometimes at, you know, midnight or 2 o'clock in the morning, and we can't get back to sleep for a while.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biological norm. That's what we evolved to do. And it's only been in the last 150 years, 200 years, that we've really carved out a substantial zone of the night and relit it. According to Stephen Johnson in the book, How We Got to Now, in that chapter on light, points out that today's night sky burns 6,000 times brighter than it did a mere 150 years ago. So it's transformed the way we sleep,
mm-hmm.
The way we work. And that's, of course, spiraled off, as Johnson explains in his book, into the creation of global networks of communication and a lot of our modern technological world.
Yeah, because all of a sudden you have improved street lighting. You had the advent of social opportunities during the evening. You have, you know, restaurants and cafes to go to, and that causes a shift in people's sleep patterns. Because before that, according to Koslofsky, you had associations with the night that were not so good. We're mm-hmm. talking about before the 17th century. He says the night was a place populated by people of disrepute, criminals, prostitutes, and drunks. And he said even the wealthy who could afford candlelight had better things to spend their money on than burning their candles all night long. There really wasn't any prestige or social value in staying up all night.
Yeah, I mean, night falls, you lock the door, because the only people out there are going to be people that are probably up to no good. You don't want anything to do with that. And the walls to the city, if you have walls around your the area in which you live, Those are going to close because anyone entering the city in the night, again, up to no good.
And hey, don't forget about those nighttime predators of the animal ilk, right?
That's right. I mean, it takes us back to our primeval self, right? The idea that that there are predators out there that will eat us, and the night belongs to those creatures, not to us. And, you know, you can spiral off from that into a lot of our fears of the dark and concerns about the night. And that basic, type one error in cognition that we make when we believe a connection is really there and, when it isn't. We're hardwired to make type one errors because, a type two error, a false negative, gets you killed. Always better to assume that there are predators out there in the dark. Always better to assume there are thieves and criminals and whatever out there in the shadows because it's a safer bet.
Now, we'll talk later about how those type one and two cognition errors can kind of mess us up here in our modern world. But for now, let's try to figure out why we respond so greatly to light and dark in the first place. And in order to do that, we got to look at our old friends on the tree of life. I'm talking about single-celled bacteria.
Because again, this comes back to the basic nature of the evolution of life, right? Life evolved on a world that experiences periodic clockwork periods of night and day, of light and darkness. And so life itself is taking form within these environmental constraints.
Yep. And one of these constraints is a circadian rhythm, which tracks a standard Earth day's 24-hour cycle. It's the secret to why we can adjust to different time zones and their accompanying sleep patterns. And according to Annalee Newitt, writing for IO9 in the article, This Is Why You Can't Sleep, quote, it's likely that circadian rhythms evolved in cyanobacteria, blue-green algae, over 3 billion years ago. And so you would say, okay, fine, why did that blue-green algae need to have some sort of circadian rhythm? And the answer is that it's all about energy, because single-cell bacteria, they need energy, but to get it, their bodies had to carry out two different chemical processes that interfered with each other. So the bacteria began keeping time by tracking the sun. So when it was light outside, the cyanobacteria would get energy from photosynthesis. And when it was dark, they could get energy by sequestering nitrogen. But if these two processes were done simultaneously, they would cancel each other out. But sequentially, keeping track of light and dark and when to do these chemical processes allowed a maximum gathering of energy. Now, the other idea is that at that time, there were life forms who shared the same environment, and this was also a way to compete with each other for food. So some evolved to feed during the day and others to feed at night. And then you go forward and you have us bipedal energy hogs,
yes,
really taking advantage of this whole circadian rhythm thing.
And of course, this brings us back to our old friend, the pineal gland, which we did an entire episode about the pineal gland. I think we called it, my third eye, pineal optics. Certainly go back and listen to that one if you want a deeper dive into this. But, just to refresh, pineal gland is a small organ shaped like a pine cone, hence the name, and it's located on the midline, attached to the posterior end of the roof of the third ventricle in the brain. In humans, it's roughly 1 centimeter in length, and the pineal is composed of pinealocytes and glial cells. In older animals, the pineal often contains calcium deposits or brain sand. Now, it's not an eye. It's not a true eye, but it is, it does have optical properties, and light does play a role in what it does. So light exposure to the retina, relays to the hypothalamus, and this is an area in the brain, that is involved in the coordination of biological clock signals, and fibers from the hypothalamus, descend to the spinal cord and project to the superior cervical ganglia, from which post-ganglionic neutrons ascend back to the pineal gland. So the pineal transduces signals from the sympathetic nervous system into a hormonal signal, and it produces several important hormones, including melatonin, in response to environmental lighting. So the human pineal regulates the rhythm that beats out the biological clock by secreting a substance, melatonin, according to the light stimulus received through the eyes and from the skin.
Yeah, the pineal gland acts as a control tower for the biological clock inside of us, directing some body functions like sleep based on the data that it's getting back from these light sensing skills. And I love this idea that this third eye does have all the components of an eye, but it's not an eye, and it is taking in all of these environmental cues in order to tell the body, hey, time to wake up or time to go to sleep. Now, Allison Loudermilk, who is one of our senior editors here, had brought up the point before, and I think she was like talking about whales at the Georgia Aquarium who are affected by daylight savings time. She brought up the point of what would happen if you weren't exposed to light at all.
Yeah, this brings to mind some research from 2011 into the nature of the Mexican blind cavefish. Now, despite what the name would have you think, this species exists in both subterranean and surface populations. Now, the surface fish swim with the benefit of sighted eyes, while their underground kin go about blindly. In laboratory populations, in this 2011 study, the surface fish slept while the cavers darted around all night. The researchers discovered that the differing sleep behavior hinged on a few dominant gene mutations that became fixed in the cave populations when they took to the dark. After all, as we've discussed in our troglofauna episode, food is scarce in subterranean environments, particularly in subterranean waters, so natural selection favors the scavengers who are willing to work long, long hours. This research also brings to mind the 1995 account of researcher Christina Lanzoni, who spent a whopping 269 days of solitary confinement in the subterranean underlab in the Frassati Caves in central Italy. Now, granted, she didn't have to swim about all night scavenging for food, but her sleep patterns altered significantly. On average, Lanzoni's waking days stretched on for 54 to 56 hours, followed by 14 to 16 hours of sleep. Furthermore, that sleep was much more like that of an infant, as she'd fall immediately into REM sleep and dream of wide open spaces. So what I like about those two studies is that they do really drive home how crucial light and dark is to an organism, be it an organism's evolutionary advancement into a realm of darkness, or its continued existence in a realm of light, or just taking a single organism and taking it out of that that flow of light and dark and putting it into a subterranean world.
Now, in those examples, those are all organisms who could detect light. Mm-hmm. But the question becomes, what if you were never indoctrinated into light in the first place? We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about blindness. We're going to talk about 24-hour sleep-wake disorder and fear of the dark.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use this directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back, and we're discussing darkness, what it's like to live as an organism in a world of light and dark, and how light and dark rules us at a very basic biological level. But what about those of us whose ability to perceive light and darkness is significantly degraded or erased almost completely, at least at the retina level?
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in a moment, about people who are blind and what their sleep patterns are like. But first, you have to kind of go back to the whole circadian rhythm in the first place. And it turns out that most of us have body clocks that run a little longer than 24 hours. And this can sometimes lead to something called the 24-hour sleep-wake disorder, or non-24. And according to the non-24 site, if your body clock is, say, 24.5 hours long today, you're running a half hour behind. Tomorrow, you're an hour behind, and so on, until your natural rhythms have you sleeping during the day and awake at night. Now, this can go on and on and on. So what this is saying is that you could go to sleep at 10 o'clock every night, but if you have this non-24 disorder, you know, you may fall asleep at 10:30 and then 11 and then so on and so forth. And it just keeps pushing that needle of your body clock around this 24-hour cycle. And in some cases, it takes up to, say, 1.5 months to get back to where you are synced up to, say, a normal cycle that the rest of the world, at least your time zone, is on.
I feel like this matches up at a symbolic level with pretty much everything in my modern life, and imagine with a lot of people's. That you have within the calendar year, within the confines of clock time, you have X amount of time to spend on a given thing. Unfortunately, that thing actually takes X 0.5 to complete, and it all adds up, and you end up not sticking to any particular schedule, but just sort of falling through it in this, with this amorphous sleep cycle, with an amorphous attention to detail and various corners of your life. And I feel like my own sleep sometimes falls like this. Like, I'm never just like go to sleep at this time, wake up at this. It's like it'll sort of flow and shift throughout a given week.
Well, as a former insomniac sufferer, I try to keep really close to the times that I fall asleep and wake up, because that helps a lot in terms of regulation. But I understand what you mean. I read 9-24 and I was like, well, this does kind of feel like sleep can become this very random thing. And as you say, something that you fall through, mm-hmm. as opposed to just being completely synced up on. And it turns out that among people who are totally blind, as many as 70% suffer from the effects of 9-24, which again comes about because of this light of light perception, or more specifically, the transmission of ocular light from the retina to their circadian clock that is impaired. So you don't have that sort of reset button, and you don't have that sort of environmental cue of, hey, let's wake up. And it can be much more prevalent among the blind. So, you know, we talked about that, this idea that it can take a month and a half to get synced back up to that cycle that at least your time zone's on. Imagine the sort of chronic sleep disorder that would be in place and all the symptoms that would follow. It would feel like you had jet lag every single day of your life.
Yeah, I agree. That's the way I felt before I had, when I had unaddressed sleep problems a while back.
Yeah. And in these cases, it's, you know, extremely difficult to be on time and stay awake mm-hmm. at work, to attend school, pursue interests, keep your social life intact. And so there aren't many things, that you can do for this. However, some people have found limited relief through treatment with a synthetic version of melatonin mm-hmm. that will sometimes help. To drag forward the body clock's reset time by creating that chemical pulse to the circadian body clock. But again, this is limited and not everybody responds to it.
Yeah. But still, the synthetic melatonin is key. Much better than wandering around in the middle of the night trying to suck the pineal glands out of people's, out of your victim's skulls.
Yeah, there are only so many air baths that you can take.
Really, really, it's true. But I mean, that's one of the things about sleep problems, right? There's so many things you have to do during the course of a day. And here you are awake in the dead of night, in the dark, and this is, and you, it's not only is it not the time to do most of those things, but even the things that you could conceivably do, you could turn on a light and grab a book or whatever, you work on your homework, work on your, you know, some of your day lit, work stuff. You don't have the mindset to do it because what you need is sleep at that time.
Yeah, and it, I mean, it can also lead to other sleep disturbances like nightmares. Mm-hmm. And there was a really interesting study that just came out in the journal Sleep Medicine. And granted, it is one study and it's very small. But in the study, it showed that an average of 25% of the dreams experienced by people born blind are nightmares. And when you look at sighted people in nightmares, it accounts for only 6% of the dreams that they have. So that's, you know, a fourfold increase if you are born blind in this one study.
Yeah. Now I do want to drive home here that this is not something that causes excessive trouble for those individuals. So don't think about any blind people in your life or just, you know, that you may know and think, oh my God, that, you know, that poor person, they're having to just live a nightmare every night, something to that effect, because it's not like that.
No, in fact, when the study participants who were born blind were told of this fourfold increase, they didn't even realize that it was disproportionate, and they were fine for it.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, though, and we'll talk a little bit more about this, that's maybe because dreams and nightmares kind of help guide us in an odd way.
Yeah, we've talked about dreams and nightmares in the past, and I mean, you basically get down to this idea that the dreams are, of course, not just a screensaver. Mm-hmm. That, like, dreams and everything that's going on in your brain at night, it's about processing the information from the day. It's about processing your environment, your struggles, your stresses, the problems that you're facing, and working them out in the brain. And sort of the byproduct of all of that is the dreamscape that you end up inhabiting.
Yeah, and let's drill down into the nitty-gritty of this study, because I think it tells something mm-hmm. about that dreamscape. So people who are born blind, they didn't have dreams with visual content. That's one thing. And then that's where that 25% of their dreams became nightmares. Now, people who lost their sight later in life may have visual content in their dreams, although the longer they've been blind, the fewer dreams they had with visual content. Now, consider that 7% of their dreams were nightmares. And dreams of normally sighted people are based on the images and that they had, and they have nightmares only 6% of the time. Now, the trial subjects' nightmares were often related to threats experienced in everyday life. And one woman had nightmares about being run over by a car or getting into embarrassing social situations like spilling a cup of coffee on her. And if I remember this correctly, I believe the woman was someone who had been blind since birth. Mm-hmm. Now, all of that comes to suggest that, again, that dreamscape is trying to work out all of the things that are happening to you emotionally and physically throughout the day. So there's this idea that increased nightmares and those blind from birth may be a way to remember information that's important to survival and welfare, particularly if you think about the more complex interactions with the physical world, like navigating traffic. If you don't have any sort of mental imagery of that, or visual imagery of that, then it's harder to create that blueprint.
Right. So there's more work that has to be done at night while the brain is sleeping to help process all that information. So it's just a, you know, it's a situation where they live in a slightly different sense world than sighted individuals. And the way they interact with that sense world requires more processing in the night.
It may be perhaps more fear-based processing as a way to inform the way that they're going to navigate their world the next day. And again, the researchers found like zero pronounced anxiety or depression as a result of increased nightmares.
Yeah, because even when you don't get down into like really like fear with a capital of F, a lot of our navigation during the course of the day is ultimately fear-based. You know, just think of taking the train in the morning, which I often think about that in terms of people who deal with blindness, because there are a number of blind individuals who take the train.
Mm-hmm.
And we see them every day. But and you think about the effort of doing that, you're dealing with this murderous piece of machinery that goes down the tracks, that travels in this pit that has rats in it.
Mm-hmm.
and you have to get there. You have to go up an elevator or take the stairs. And there's so many different places and different opportunities for me to die in the course of my daily commute. And I have the benefit of sight to help me.
I think it also calls in, you know, to light this idea that we really do dream with all of our senses.
Right.
Those are all available to us.
Yeah, it's a different sense world. That's for sure.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we will talk about being afraid of the dark and whether or not it has anything to do with insomnia.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
All right, we're back. And this leads us inevitably to nyctophobia, to fear of the dark. Now, I have a toddler. He's not really at the point where he seems to have a fear of the dark yet. When he's in the dark, he just can't see. But your child is a bit older. Have you been through fear of the dark? Has
No.
that played into her
Nope.
experiences at all?
No. Not yet. I mean, she's 5 and a half. But I remember when I was around her age that I was definitely afraid of some sort of monster lurking in the closet, which would only become a fear, of course, when the lights were out.
When was the last time you slept with all the lights on? Not by accident, but because you said, I am going to leave a light on while I go to sleep.
I can't remember. I mean, now I'm like Elvis and I have blackout shades and, you know, not one little stream of light gets through. What about you?
You know, I feel like there was a time in the last few years when my child came and it was while my wife was out of town. And I think I read something kind of spooky or watched something spooky and without the normal sort of comfort zone of sharing a bed with someone, I was like, oh, wow, it's just me in here. And I ended up sleeping at least part of the night with the light on. Because having that other person there,
yeah.
If something comes for you in the night, either they'll hear it or they can only, like, really kill one of you at once, effectively. So someone's going to survive.
That's so funny because we've talked about outsourcing memory before. It's kind of like outsourcing responsibility.
Yeah, if a murderer comes, then, you know,
she'll take care of it.
But I do remember years before when I saw The Ring for the first time,
mm-hmm.
I definitely slept with the lights on all night after seeing that. That one scared me pretty bad.
I remember the book I Am Legend, which I got from you, Richard Matheson,
mm-hmm.
that terrified me. I had a hard time going to sleep.
That's a good one. That's a good Fear of the Dark book for sure, because it has to deal with a character who, on top of all of his angst and his problems and his alcoholism, when the sun goes down, dark things come out of the shadows and come for him and call for him. And
he must resist sleep in order to survive.
It's an impressive book.
Yeah, not to mention his alcoholism too, which is that's not a good time to be an alcoholic when you've got the bloodthirsty at your door.
Indeed.
All right, so nyctophobia, it is this anxiety reaction which is characterized by an obsessive irrational fear of the dark, and typically you see that in children and you know they tend to grow out of it, but sometimes they don't. Sometimes people are still scared of the dark. And there's this idea that sleep disturbances could just be a fear of the dark. And there's a paper called, quote, Are People with Insomnia Afraid of the Dark? A pilot study from Ryerson University Sleep and Depression Lab. And it looks at a possible link between sleep disorders and the dark.
Yeah, in this study, nearly half of the students who reported having poor sleep also reported a fear of the dark. And researchers confirmed this objectively by measuring blink responses to sudden noise bursts in light and dark surroundings. Good sleepers became accustomed to the noise burst, but the poor sleepers grew more anticipatory when the lights went down. So you end up with a situation where the poor sleepers were far more easy to startle in the dark compared to the good sleepers.
Yeah, and the reason for all the eye theatrics, according to Dr. Colleen Carney of Ryerson University, is that if you're already a little anxious, the noise will make you flinch. And she said, we looked at eye reactions because it is one of the most robust ways to measure this anxiety. If you blink immediately after the noise, that means it startles you.
Now, it's interesting thing about this in terms of phobias, because as we recently discussed in our Fear of Holes episode, where we discussed phobias a bit, I mean, phobias come out of, in many cases anyway, they stem from a realistic fear. And certainly, it's realistic, as we've discussed, to have some apprehension about the dark, because at the very least, the dark is the environment where you will not see the hole you're about to step into.
Yeah, it's, again, it's that uncertainty, that stepping
right
into the unknown. And so when you say, like, you know, a spouse is out of town, all of a sudden those noises in the dark become much larger in your mind than they possibly are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you respond to them in a much more robust way. So the interesting thing about this study is that it got the researchers to thinking, if some people with sleep disorders like insomnia, they have an active and untreated phobia of the dark, that treatment methods may need to be reevaluated. In other words, could the underlying cause of the insomnia be a phobia to the dark?
So in other words, maybe we're better off treating the phobia if it's there rather than the inability to sleep.
Yeah. And again, this is more like a hunch mm-hmm. of the study. So, you know, and they're saying that there's some people who do not respond to behavioral or drug therapy. Therefore, maybe there's something else going on and it could relate to this.
Yeah. It's certainly, this one would be a good one to hear from listeners about, because I know we have listeners. I know for a fact we have listeners that have had problems with sleep. And so, yeah, ask yourself, to what extent are you honestly apprehensive about the dark? And do you feel that plays into your scenario, or is your scenario definitely not associated with that? Because I know I have one friend in particular who has always been plagued by insomnia.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he's not afraid of the dark kind of a guy. Like, I think he just goes out and walks in the dark if he can't sleep.
Yeah, and then, I mean, there could be other underlying mm-hmm. Conditions there. You could have an anxiety disorder. You could have PTSD. So
yeah,
it's not really that apparent that it could be just a more general phobia of the dark. But if you are afraid of the dark, if it's something that bothers you, imagine being placed into this fictional room outfitted in the darkest material known to man.
Whoa. You're, of course, talking about Vanta Black.
That's right. It's so dark that any light that gets through the cracks will essentially vanish into this material, which was created by the company Surrey Nanosystems. And we're talking about a dense forest of carbon nanotubes, single atom carbon tubes, 10,000 times thinner than a human hair, that drink in 99.96% of all incoming radiation.
Yeah, it's super black. It's infinite black. It's the gothiest material possible. And you're probably wondering, why would you create this? What's the point? Are you just trying to suck the soul right out of us? Well, the main applications for this material would relate to sensitive optical equipment like telescopes.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, a NASA Goddard team led by John Hagopane has been developing nanotube materials like this since 2007.
Yeah, it's been described by one of the CEOs as deep, featureless black, even when folded and scrunched. He says, you expect to see the hills, and all you can see, it's like black. It's like a hole. Like, there's nothing there. It looks so strange. So it's a wonderfully creepy concept and innovation.
I love it. I would love to see it. I mean, you put it on a gallery wall and let us stare into it. Because I love works of art that are just like stark, you know, white and dark, and you can sort of lose yourself in the depths of the darkness.
Well, and what I think is so interesting about it is that even when you're in the dark, you do perceive some sort of light usually.
Oh, yes.
There's a source somewhere, so you're never fully in the dark. But here is a possibility to create a room that would truly encase you in total lightlessness. And what I was thinking about, we were talking about this earlier, is that we are now entering into fall, and very soon it's going to be winter. And already the days are getting shorter. There's not as much sunlight available to us. And so that's why this idea of darkness is so interesting, because a lot of us start to turn inward right now. And we start to see these sort of cracks in our psyche. And it can be sort of a depressive time for some people, and then it sometimes can be good.
Yeah, why'd they plan to do the holidays during the darkest period of the year? I never understood that. Can't we do it in a happier month? We can at least go outside?
Well, I thought I could take comfort from this one aspect of it, is that if you, and not to make light of suffering, if you find that this is a season that does make you turn inward and become more serious about things or grapple with things, that, that it's beneficial to us ultimately. And because again, those cracks in the psyche are important. And, if I may, I will read a quote from Leonard Cohen, which goes a little like this. There is a crack in everything, and that's how the light gets in. So keep that in mind as you light a candle at 5:30 p.m. when the sun goes down in your neck of the woods.
And lock the doors. Be sure to lock the doors, because there are things out there in the night and they want to get to you.
Yeah.
All right, so there you have it. Lots of good content in there, I think. Kind of a dive into the idea of fearing the dark, our feelings about the dark, evolving as a creature in this world of light and darkness. So I'm sure a lot of people have some feedback on that. In the meantime, go to stufftoblowyourmind.com. That is where you'll find all the podcast episodes we've ever done, the videos, the blog posts, links out to our social media accounts. And on each and every podcast that we're putting out these days, you know, we're making a point to have a podcast landing page. It's going to have some cool art. It's going to have some links to other related podcasts. It's going to, if there are some outside materials of note, we're going to link to that. Sometimes we'll have a gallery to go along with the episode, and we'll have a link to that, of course. So if you haven't gone to stufftoblowyourmind.com, do yourselves a favor. Go check it out.
Yeah, there's lots of photos of fully clothed men. Just wink, wink. Okay. You're not going to find that in a lot of places.
Okay. Right. I try to include lots of photos of fully dressed women too. I keep it even.
Sometimes we get some skin, sometimes not.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're animals, sometimes they're plants. I want our plant listeners to feel included.
Indeed. All right. And if you've got some ideas on this percolating, please do send them to us. You can do that by sending an email to blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.